Good morning. I hope Father Ben's homily last weekend wasn't too good. I don't want to disappoint you. You know, as Christians, especially those who have grown up in the church, you've heard these stories of Jesus healing people over and over and over. And today's gospel is no exception to that. Somebody runs up to Jesus and says, "Please help me," and he heals them. But there's a couple elements about this story that you might not realize that makes it a little atypical from those normal stories, or at least should pique your interest. I want to share two of those elements with you today. The first is a little bit of a personal space problem. You see, lepers, as was told about in the first reading today, were exiled from the Jewish community. And part of that, at least originally, was just for logistics. You don't want to get what the leper has. You don't want to get his disease. So he lives outside of the community until he either gets better or he dies. But over time, unfortunately, that also took on a social stigma, to where the Jews almost began to shun their own people, where they began to hate their own people because of this leprosy. You see, a leper had sores all over his body, and as the first reading says, pustules, such an icky word. You know, pus running out of your body actively. I mean, it's just yucky. And if you can imagine, you pull up for church here today, and there's some guy out in the parking lot, and he's got sores all over and pus running down, and he smells, and he comes up to you, and he's like, "Hi!" I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to run the other way. It's just kind of a human reaction. But unfortunately, it had kind of, over time, taken on a little bit of a connotation where I want to avoid these people altogether. They had to say, stay 6 feet away from even their own family members. They had to go down the road declaring unclean, unclean, so everybody knew. So this guy comes to Jesus feeling very forsaken and abandoned and dismissed from his own people. And what happens is he actually comes up to Jesus within that 6 foot range. And remember, Jesus is a rabbi. He knows the Jewish law. So this guy comes up and he ritually defiles Jesus. I mean, he insults him by even coming into breaking that barrier. But what's interesting is, how does Jesus respond? Jesus would have every right to say, "Buddy, back off." But it says he reached out and touched him. Jesus could have even said something nice like, "I really understand that you really want to be healed, but I really don't want to get sick, so would you mind taking a couple steps back?" No, he reaches out and touches the guy. He could be infected with leprosy. You see, guys, Christian compassion doesn't put limits on showing people love, on including people in the community and reaching out to them. It doesn't worry about social stigmas, and furthermore, it doesn't even worry about how it will affect you, even getting sick. Now, I don't want to go to the hospital later today to visit people and you're there licking the floor of the hospital or something. Don't try to get sick. I mean, even when I go, I take precautions. But when Jesus is asking you to minister to somebody, to reach out to them, to bring them love, to bring them the gospel, never, ever put limits on it, even if it means that you will die. I remember reading the biography of St. Francis, and if any of you have ever heard his story, watched a movie on him, or read his biography, you know he hated lepers. He would see one down the road, like a mile down the road, and he would literally ride on his horse way out of the way, like 10 miles out of the way, just so he didn't have to pass the guy. He He was afraid of them. Yet, one of the first things he did when he underwent his conversion is he went down to the leper colony and he bathed their sores, all that pussy, yucky stuff. He bathed them and kissed each one of their sores. Because he wanted them to know the love of Jesus Christ. And the love of Jesus Christ doesn't put boundaries like that in the way. In 1965, in an issue of the magazine Guideposts, the author Mary Bartles Bray told a story about a fisherman who had a cancer. And he would come to Baltimore, to John Hopkins University, to get treatments. And he showed up one day on the doorstep of a woman across the street and asked for a room for the night. He said, you know, I had treatment today and I can't get back home tonight. Can I stay here tonight? And she looked at him kind of funny, and he knew right away why she was looking at him funny. His face was all distorted by the cancer, the skin cancer he was dealing with. And he was a very tiny man. He was stunted in his growth. And he said, I'm sorry, it must be my face. I'll stay on the porch. He said, oh no, we'll find you a room. Please wait here. And she finished up dinner with her family and got a room ready for him, invited him in. And when he left the next day, he said, thank you. And she said, well, I haven't really done much for you. And he said, no, thank you for your children. And she said, well, what do you mean? He said, when they look at me, I know that they don't see this illness. They see me. They smile when they see me. The man over the years would come back every time he came for treatment there at the university. He would stay with that family, and the nearby families actually would ridicule this family for taking in this man who was so deformed. But they saw in him something much more beautiful. And she went on to tell this story as well. Recently, I was visiting a friend who has a greenhouse. As she was showing me her flowers, we came to the most beautiful one of all, a gold chrysanthemum, bursting with blooms. But to my great surprise, it was growing in an old, rusted pot. I thought to myself, if this were my plant, I'd put it in the most beautiful container I had. My friend changed my mind. I ran short of pots, she explained, and knowing how beautiful this one would be, I thought it wouldn't mind starting out in this old rusted pot. It's just for a little while, till it can be put out in the garden. She must have wondered why I laughed so delightfully, but I was imagining just such a scene in heaven. Here's an especially beautiful one, God might have said, when he came to the soul of the sweet old fisherman, this old man with wounds and short stature. He won't mind starting in this small body. And brothers and sisters, God says the same to us about this fleshly existence. Whether you're deformed by disease or the most beautiful person in the world, he says, I know how beautiful you will be. So don't mind starting out in this old rusted pot. It's just for a little while. So when you encounter sickness and disease, whether it's your own or someone else's, remember, he's growing something much more beautiful in this pot, in this container. And he's going to plant you someday in his garden. A second problem in our gospel today is, I guess, what I'd call a Mr. T problem. Those of you who grew up in the 80s probably remember the show A-Team. And Mr. T would say, I pity the fool. talking about the guy who would encounter him. And we have in our culture this kind of negative connotation with the word pity. And when we hear it in the gospel today, we hear that Jesus was moved with pity. Kind of like, oh, you poor thing, right? But that's not really the depth of what Jesus is experiencing when he encounters this man. And if you look up some of the original language and other translations, it'll tell you this, that Jesus was filled with compassion. Filled with compassion for this man. And if you look up the word compassion, it's quite interesting. The word, the first part, calm, means with. And the second part, passion, comes from the word pati in Latin, meaning suffering. And what the word compassion actually means is to suffer with somebody. When I read this, the first thing that came to mind is, I'm 7 years old, I'm laying on bottom bunk in my with my brother's bunk beds, and I've got transformer sheets on my beds. They recycle those things, you know. And I'm puking my guts out. I feel horrible. And my mom's sitting there rubbing my back, holding the bucket, and got a warm washcloth ready, right? And I remember looking up at her, and she's crying. Why? I'm the one who's sick. But she felt something, right? Those of you who are parents know what I'm talking about. It is sharing in the suffering of another. Recently, I heard a story about a little girl who went up to her dad one night. She was very emotional, and she said, "Daddy, am I pretty?" Third grade year old girl. And he said, "Honey, of course you're pretty." But he astutely probed further as a father. He said, "Well, why are you asking me if you're pretty?" And she said tearfully, "The boys at school were saying who the pretty girls were, and they didn't mention my name." Now, when you hear that story, what do you feel inside? You feel compassion, right? You feel the hurt that she felt. And brothers and sisters, when we talk about Christian compassion, we're talking, yes, about reaching across those lines that divide us, whether it's sickness, somebody who maybe looks awful, smells awful, or who we wouldn't normally reach out to, but not just reaching out, but that reaching out means sharing in something that they're going through. And we do this well in Samaria's. Those of you who go down to the Lord's Diner and you serve dinner to the poor, but then you go out and you sit with the poor and you hear their problems and you share in their concerns. It's the families in our parish who say, "You know what, I see a family who's in need over there and I don't really have the resources to help them." So they make a sacrifice to help out that family in need. And those kind of beautiful things are going on in this parish, and I commend you for it. But we also have some work to do. When you see a child screaming in Mass, and you say, "Well, why doesn't somebody shut that child up?" And you come up to me after Mass, and you say things like that. Why don't you go over and help out instead of griping about it? It's when I look at our budget and I see that we're spending 86% of our $1 million budget each year on Catholic education, which is all very good. Don't get me wrong. But then I look at the column that says charity. That is to those in need, those who are poor. And you know what the budget line says there? Zero. If we want to call ourselves Christians, if we want to call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, then we need to start thinking a little bit differently about what compassion means. It means sharing in the sufferings of another. Isn't this exactly what St. Paul says when he says, somewhere here, carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. When's the last time you picked up the burden of one of the people sitting next to you? Just yesterday in our office of readings, Blessed Isaac of Stella said this, "Let us then be compassionate toward one another, loving all our brothers, bearing one another's weaknesses." You see, guys, you haven't really felt compassion until you take on the concern, the weakness, the experience of one of your brothers and sisters, not just in this church, but especially, maybe especially, the ones who aren't here today. Today in this Eucharist, you are going to give something to Jesus in the offertory. And in the Eucharist, he gives you something back. I would encourage you today to give him maybe something even deeper than a prayer or a check. To give him your preconceived ideas of what compassion means, of what being a Christian means. To ask him, just as he transforms bread and wine into body and blood, that he might take your notions of what it means to be a Christian and to love and to be compassionate and transform those as well. And just as you are given back the bread and wine which is brought up in the offertory in a different form, pray that he will give you back then a different, a transformed notion of what compassion means. Remember today, brothers and sisters, that you are God says to you that you are so beautiful. Each and every one of you, whether you have cancer or are deformed, whether you're short or tall or ugly or fat, he says to you, you're so beautiful. And all the suffering we experience in this life, whether it's ours or another, is just a vessel, a temporary vessel until we can be planted in his garden. And how beautiful it would be if you choose, knowing how beautiful you are, to be planted in the same pot, the same container, the same vessel with somebody who is truly in need. To be compassionate toward them. To share in their suffering.